water. That's the sort of comparison I'd yearn to make, for I love watching Burton and Taylor's films and can, I think, discern patterns of growth and form, images within images. What I have produced, and I have spent many years gathering my material and boiling it down, reducing it like a lobster sauce, is more in the way of a novel of manners, the style and form evolving naturally from those previous publications on the histrionic or music hall personality. My books, studies about Peter Sellers, Laurence Olivier, Charles Hawtrey, and Anthony Burgess. Actually, my ideal readers, should they exist outside the mind of God, will be those who have perhaps never heard of Taylor and Burton. Taylor and Burton will be beings come across in these pages for the first time, beings who have no external links and whom I have entirely imagined as a byproduct of insomnia, anxiety, lowered oxygen, and benign prostatic hyperplasia. At least, I hope it is only that. For isn't that what Taylor and Burton were all along? Sheer fantasy figures. To invoke Joyce again, they grew to have greater reality for me than reality. R.L., Normandy, 2010 to 2023. Prologue. What Antony and Cleopatra most feared wasn't death or subjugation by an alien power, but that they'd be ripe for ridicule. The quick comedians extemporally will stage us. Antony shall be brought drunken forth. I shall see some squeaking Cleopatra. It could be said Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor were precisely these as-advertised fools of fortune when 20th Century Fox took over Rome in the early 60s. He was certainly drunken, and she always did a lot of squeaking. And in their own turn, Burton and Taylor were to be caricatured, e.g. by Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon in The Trip, 2011, where they compare and vie with their Burton voices over the dinner table, or in Scrooged, 1988, where a trio of tramps at Karen Allen's soup kitchen mistake a frantic, bad-tempered Bill Murray for Burton, companionably call him Dick, and invite him to come out for their benefit with famous lines from his films. Give us something from The Sandpiper. Murray does a strange rendition of haughty, unintelligible cod Shakespearean muffling, and you think, is this what Burton has been reduced to, only 4 years after his death? 6 years before his death saw Alan Bennett's Me, I'm Afraid of Virginia Woolf, with Leeds replacing New England, though the provincial squalor is intact. A canteen with sauce-encrusted bottle tops, fuggy interiors, pleasureless evenings. The Burton George character is now called Hopkins, an uneasy, uncertain, bookish, harmless, high-strung polytechnic lecturer, to his mother's dismay. He teaches English, but she thinks he's in charge of woodwork. Julie Walters, in an orange wig, is an apparition of Taylor slash Martha, who announces, "They've sent my sputum to Newcastle." The bonny and frizzy-haired yoga instructress, Carol McCready, is another manifestation of Taylor as unscrupulous flirt. "Those ski pants haven't seen Zermatt," says Thora Heard, with her trademark scorn. Then there's Benny Hill, who in a sketch called Who's Afraid of Virgin Wool is Rich Burt. It's a remarkable impersonation, actually, the bloated, boozy face and the carefully arranged dark hair. Benny was also always funny as grotesques like Fanny Craddock or Jimmy Savile. Is that Bob Todd as Taylor? No, it's Benny again. He's brilliant in drag. In Mike Leigh's Career Girls, 1997, another one of his films about abortion, alcoholism, unemployment, obesity, and dead-end lives, Mark Benton's character, with his twitches, stuttering, and skin allergies, is called Richard Ricky Burton. I don't look like him or anything. My mother was a fan. Leigh's feral folk in high-rise flats flailing and getting on each other's nerves would seem to be a far cry from the real Burton, the real Taylor. Or maybe not. Taylor's fate was to be impersonated by Roseanne Barr and John Candy, also Dawn French. "I laughed the loudest," said Taylor, "but it hurt inside." No wonder, as they all turned her into a giant panda. Most cruel was Joan Rivers, especially on her 1983 album, What Becomes a Semi-Legend Most. "I went pretty far with Elizabeth Taylor," the comedian conceded, though she assured Roddy McDowell